Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another message on Revelation 19. This is part 4, verses 17 through 21. Let's begin with verse 17. And I saw one angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. The first thing the Apostle John says in this verse is, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. The sun here represents Christ, as can be seen in the following verses. For example, Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Revelation 1:16 says this, and he, Christ, had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And again in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, we read, and I saw another mighty angel, that is Christ, come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And finally, we read in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, the Son of Righteousness, that's spelled S-U-N, but we know it's referring to the Son, Jesus Christ, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So in saying that I saw an angel standing in the sun is the same thing as saying I saw an angel standing in Christ, since the sun is symbolic of Christ himself. This means that this angel comes in all the authority and power of Christ himself. And what he cried with a loud voice comes in this same authority and power. Now we read, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. We can understand what it means that he cried with a loud voice, but what does it mean that he is saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven? In other words, who are the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven? The word translated as fowls is the same word in the singular translated as bird in the phrase, and a prison of every unclean and having been hated bird, back in Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. There we discovered that the hated bird represented all the unsaved people in the world ever since May 21, 2011. We had discovered what this word bird or fowl meant by comparing the following verses. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8. As a bird that wandereth from the nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand to the fowler. And Psalm 11, verse 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Psalm 124, verse 7 reads, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Isaiah 16, verse 2, for it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, So the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Isaiah 46:11 reads, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 52, mine enemies chased me sore like a bird. And lastly, Hosea chapter 11 verse 11, they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. A careful comparison of the verses that I just spoke reveals that the word bird is symbolic of a person, people, souls of people, or a soul of a person. Whatever the case, we can conclude in general that the word bird is symbolic of a person or persons. Remember what we had just read? For example, Proverbs 27:8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man. Clearly, bird is being identified with a man there. Or, deliver thyself in Proverbs 6:5, as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird. There, thyself is being identified with as a bird. So, we see that a bird represents a person, and if I read the rest of the verses again, it could be persons or the soul of a person or the soul of persons. But what we're going to do, whatever the case, we can conclude in general that the word bird is symbolic of a person or persons. Therefore, the fowls, that is the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, must be people. And in that they fly in the midst of heaven, they must be God's elect people, since it is inconceivable that the non-elect would be flying in the midst of heaven, as they are bound to this earth and death. So our verse says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, that is in Christ. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, that is the elect, that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now we already understood that the angel standing in the sun is a picture of a messenger coming in the authority and power of Jesus Christ with a loud voice, saying to all the elect that fly in the midst of heaven. But why is it that the elect are spoken of as flying in the midst of heaven? The idea of flying carries with it the notion of having been set free from the law of gravity, which is a picture of being set free from the law of sin, so that having been set free, one is able to fly free from the bondage to this world. In other words, flying in the midst of heaven is a picture of having been saved, so all the elect can be spoken of as flying in the midst of heaven. They are no longer bound to this earth and sin, but they have been set free from the laws of this world, which declare the wages of sin is death. And so now they, in a figure of speech, can fly free from this earth in heaven. Next, we read that the messenger who stands in the authority and power of Christ cried with a loud voice, saying to the elect who have been set free from this world, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Come and gather yourselves is a command in the time of judgment day that we are now in for the elect to gather themselves unto the supper of the great God, and the supper of the great God is judgment day itself. So this command for the elect to come together is a command for all God's people worldwide to recognize that Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, and for them to gather together in the declaring and standing firm on this truth. As more and more of God's people through the world come to this knowledge of Judgment Day ever since May 21, 2011, and begin declaring it, they are gathering together in battle against this world. This gathering together of the elect kills the unsaved of the world because it declares that Judgment Day has come and that salvation has come to an end. This means there is no hope for anyone who is unsaved to ever be brought to life, but they are destined for death when the Lord shall come to rapture His people and destroy this world with everlasting destruction. Moving on to verse 18 of Revelation 19. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now we are told in this verse why the elect are gathered together in one mind about declaring and standing firm on that Judgment Day against the world began on May 21, 2011. The reason is that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. The eating of the flesh of all the unsaved here is figurative language of the elect being victorious in judgment. As they declare the judgment of God upon the world, it is as if they are devouring the flesh of all the unsaved, because there is now, as of May 21, 2011, nothing left for them but death. Obviously, the elect are not literally eating their flesh, but the elect are identified with the judgment of God, and this judgment is devouring the unsaved in that any hope for their salvation has come to an end. They are guaranteed to die at the soon coming of the Lord for His people. Now, this picture of fowls eating the flesh of those who are vanquished can be seen when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and Judah in the Old Testament, which was a picture of the kingdom of Satan, that is the Babylonians, vanquishing the churches beginning on May 21, 1988. For instance, we read in Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 7, "And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem," that is the churches, "in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven, and for the beasts of the earth." And again, in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 4, "They shall die of a grievous death, they shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth." And finally, in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 30 through 34, "For the children of Judah," that is those in the churches, "have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, that is the churches, and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. So the whole symbolism of the fowls of heaven devouring the carcasses of the one under judgment is a picture of their being vanquished or utterly destroyed. The kingdom of Satan, that is Babylon, did not literally eat the flesh of the people in the churches when judgment came upon them, but it is simply a figure of speech to indicate that they were utterly destroyed. Likewise, when judgment came upon the world beginning on May 21, 2011, the flesh of the unsaved is not literally being eaten, but it is simply a figure of speech to indicate that they have been vanquished or utterly destroyed spiritually. Now, getting back to our verse in Revelation 19, notice that there are five major categories of flesh which may be eaten by the elect: the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men. This emphasizes judgment, since the number five is symbolic of either judgment or grace, but obviously, in this case, it is symbolizing judgment. Also, notice that the flesh of horses is listed as to be eaten. Horses are representative of man, of the strength of mankind. So, to eat the flesh of the horses, the strength of mankind has and is being devoured. And when the blood reaches the horses' bridles in 1600 days from the day of judgment, which began on May 21, 2011, all strength of mankind will likely be gone on October 6 to 7, 2015. And you can see that in Revelation 19, and scrolling down to verse 15 by clicking on this link. That the strength of mankind is being devoured is also emphasized in that the ones who would normally be most capable of winning in battle, that is the kings, captains, and mighty men, are first listed as the ones whom God's elect may eat in judgment. Obviously, by bringing these people to the forefront, God wants to emphasize that mankind has been totally and completely overcome by the wrath of God. For not even mankind's most powerful people can escape the judgment of God, which has and is devouring them ever since May 21, 2011. Note also that the flesh of all men is listed as to be eaten. So judgment has not only vanquished the powerful and mighty, but it has vanquished all men. We tend to look at things with the eyes of our flesh, which doesn't recognize that anything is happening. But if we could clearly see the spiritual realm, there is death everywhere. The time we are now in is terrible, and only to get worse for the world as time goes on. Let's now look a little more closely at each category listed. First, the flesh of kings is listed as that which the elect may eat. In the Bible, there are three kinds of kings, and we learned that back in Revelation 17, verse 2. There are the earthly kings, such as our president and congressmen and the rulers of other countries. Then there are those who just identify with being spiritual kings, such as all those who claim a relationship with Christ but who are not saved, which for the most part are all those in the churches. And finally, There are those who are actual spiritual kings who are the elect. Obviously, the flesh of kings which may be eaten is not the flesh of the elect, as they are the ones doing the eating in judgment. But it must refer to the flesh of the earthly kings and all the false spiritual kings in all the churches. They are the kings whose flesh is being eaten by the elect, as the elect bring judgment. Second, we read of the flesh of captains as that which the elect may eat. The word captains literally means commanders of a thousand, but because the number thousand can be symbolic of the completeness of whatever is in view, and you can click on the link to see the meaning of the Bible number 10, captains can refer to the commanders of any given amount of people. Furthermore, because the battle is a spiritual battle, captains refer to all the leaders, teachers, gurus, pastors, prophets, and spiritual leaders on all levels of all the false religions and philosophies of the world, including the so-called Christian churches, ever since their apostasy began on May 21, 1988. Ultimately, captains are all those who lead others in spiritual battle against the truths of the Bible, whether they know that they are doing it or not. Third, we read of the flesh of mighty men as that which the elect may eat. Spiritually speaking, the mighty men are those who are strong and mighty in their particular beliefs, though they are contrary to the Word of God. These are those who stand strong against the truth, whether they realize it or not, and may have a great amount of influence over others. They are the wealthy or famous or the ones who have accomplished great things in this world. They are the great scientists who lay claim to the false theory of evolution. They are the founders of all the world's religions, philosophies, or beliefs. These are the mighty ones of this world. Fourth, we read of the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them as that which the elect may eat. As previously mentioned, horses represent the strength of mankind, so that them that sit on them are all those who rely on the strength of mankind. These are all those who believe that mankind determines their own future and that they can deliver and save themselves by their own strength. These are those who believe that they will be saved by their good works. They believe that mankind can solve all their own problems, and so in essence they worship mankind, but in most cases don't realize it. These are the ones who say, look how far we've evolved in technological advances over the last 100 years. In time, we can solve all our problems. Fifth, we read of the flesh of all people, both free and bond, both small and great, as that which the elect may eat in judgment. Here God is making it clear that all people are being judged. This covers all those who do not quite fit into the previous four categories. They are all people who are subdivided into four groups, both free and bond and small and great. This brings the number four to the forefront, which symbolizes worldwide, and you can see that by clicking on the link which goes to the meaning of the Bible number 4. So this emphasizes that the flesh of all people refers to everyone who is unsaved worldwide. No one is left out. Every single last human being worldwide is under the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. Now we're moving on to verse 19 of Revelation 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The first thing to take note of in this verse is that the Apostle John saw in the past what he then describes as the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Since this is something which John saw in the past, and we know that the context of these verses in Revelation 19 is in the present context of Judgment Day after May 21, 2011, we know that when he saw these things in the past had to have been at or before Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. Next, we had already learned back in Revelation 17 that the beast is a representation of Satan himself, particularly during the Great Tribulation period from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when he ruled over all the churches as judgment against them. And we had already learned back in Revelation chapter 17, verse 2, that the kings of the earth can be a representation of either the literal rulers of this world, the false believers in Christ who are now, for the most part, in the churches, or the very elect people of God. Obviously, because they are gathered together to make war against him, that is Christ that sat on the horse, they cannot possibly be a reference to the elect. Therefore, they must be a reference to either the literal rulers of this world or the church dwellers, or both. And since both can be seen as spiritually waging war against Christ at or before the day of judgment, there appears to be room for the kings of the earth here to be referring to both the literal rulers of this world and those in the churches. But then, who are their armies? These would be all the various unsaved groups of people and organizations in the world which stand against the truths of the Bible, whether they realize it or not. These would include all the churches and denominations. Ultimately, every unsaved person is a soldier against the Word of God. So, in the broadest sense, the whole unsaved world makes up the armies of Satan. Now we are told that Satan, that is the beast, and the churches and denominations, that is the kings of the earth, and the literal rulers of this world, that is the kings of the earth as well, along with all their various groups and organizations of unsaved people, their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Although Satan and his forces have been gathering together to war against Christ and his people ever since the beginning, Satan's gathering together against Christ and his people became especially focused at the beginning of the Great Tribulation on May 21, 1988, when he was loosed from the pit. We read of this loosing in Revelation 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. Notice that after the 1,000 years, which are symbolic of the church age from 33 AD until May 21, 1988, Satan was loosed to go out and deceive the nations throughout the earth and to gather them together to battle. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. This all began at the beginning of the Great Tribulation on May 21, 1988, and continued until Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, when spiritual fire came down from heaven, from God, and devoured them. Now, it's important to realize, of course, that the battle between Satan and his armies and Christ and his elect is completely spiritual. What Satan has done ever since May 21, 1988 is take over all the churches without exception as the false Christ or Antichrist, and he has deceived them all into thinking that they are worshiping Christ when in fact they are worshiping Satan without realizing it. He is the master deceiver. What Satan has done is gradually infiltrate the churches with more and more false teachings, with a special focus upon the supernatural, such as miraculous healing, messages from God apart from the Bible, such as tongues, dreams, voices, words of knowledge, visions, supernaturally being slain in the spirit and falling backwards, ridiculous things as holy laughter or throwing the Holy Spirit at people to knock them over, and many, many other things contrary to sound truth. Yes, Satan has taught the churches many false doctrines, such as that it is up to you to become saved, or that you must believe and do good works to become saved, or that Christ died for everyone, or it is now up to you to believe to become saved. In other words, Christ died for everyone, and now it's up to you to become saved. Or they teach falsely that women can teach men in the churches and become pastors and elders. Or they teach falsely that a man can be divorced and remarried even while his previous wife is still living and still be qualified to be a deacon, elder, pastor. Or that Saturday is the Sabbath. Or that you must be baptized or speak in tongues to be saved. Or that May 21, 2011 would not begin Judgment Day. And the list goes on and on of all the false doctrines and teachings of the churches. There can be no question that Satan has been working overtime in the churches to battle against Christ. So, having said this, we have a somewhat better sense of how Satan and his armies had gathered themselves together to war against Christ and his army, that is, the elect. It was by infiltrating the churches and the world with many false teachings and belief systems that were contrary to the Word of God, and by deceiving all the churches and the world into believing in and practicing things that are false. Up until May 21, 2011, Satan appeared to be winning as he gathered himself and his armies against the truth. But then May 21, 2011 came, and Satan and his armies were spiritually destroyed, as we discover in the next two verses. Moving to verse 20 of Revelation 19. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. In this verse, we are given a description of what happened on May 21, 2011. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. We already understand that the beast is Satan. But who is the false prophet? The false prophet is also a representation of Satan. But he is a picture of Satan as he worked through various people in the churches to declare false gospels and teachings. and to work various miracles in an attempt to confirm that these false gospels were from God. So in reality, the false prophet is Satan himself. But he is represented by the many people in the churches who declared their false teachings and gospels to the churches and to the whole world. Some of them even wrought miracles before the beast and the people. Now, most of us are familiar with some of the miracles they claimed to do in the churches. They claimed to have received miraculous messages from God apart from the Bible, such as in dreams and voices, tongues, or words of knowledge or visions. They also claimed to miraculously heal people, although no one would ever be healed or of having no leg, or healed of having no arm, or healed of having no eyes in the way that Jesus healed during his earthly ministry. One particular miracle or sign that Satan, through the false prophets, was permitted to do and is still doing is what we read in Revelation 13, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Notice that the beast, that is Satan, maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This is not a literal fire coming down from heaven, but it is symbolic of what is seen in the churches today when people are caused to fall backward. In the Bible, fire coming down from heaven is representative of God's judgment, and Satan would like to be able to do this because it would make him appear as though he were the judge of the earth. Remember, his goal is to be like God. But he's unable to bring literal fire down from heaven. And you can discover that in 1 Kings 18, verses 20 through 40. So what he does instead is to make people fall backward. Like making fire come down from heaven, making people fall backward is also representative of God's judgment. This can be seen, for instance, when Jesus' captors in the Garden of Gethsemane fell backward when they came to get him, as recorded in John chapter 18, verse 6. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. This falling backward meant that these men who had come to capture Jesus were actually under the judgment of God. In fact, Jesus could have called fire down from heaven and destroyed them right then and there, but it was his plan that he be captured and crucified for the sins of his people. So instead of destroying them right on the spot, he made them fall backwards in order to show that they were under the judgment of God. Satan today does the same thing. He makes people fall backward. That is, he calls fire down from heaven to make it appear that he, like God, has the authority to judge mankind. The arrogance of Satan is remarkable. Next, we are told that with such miracles as previously described, Satan deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. But who are those that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image? We read of this in Revelation chapter 13, which is a description of Satan's rule in all the churches as the false Christ or Antichrist, beginning on May 21, 1988, where it states in verse 11, And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. These two horns like a lamb are symbolic of that he looked just like Christ, because Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So, in that he had two horns like a lamb, he's looking just like Christ in the church. But he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. That's referring to Satan, who was wounded at the cross, but during the church age, this wound appears to be healed because Satan is ruling all the churches and the world. So he appears to be all-powerful. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound who had the wound by the sword and did live. Again, referring to when Satan received the wound at the cross. But during the Great Tribulation period of May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, it appears that he's alive again. And verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. In this passage, we read, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Most have thought that this mark would be some kind of physical mark placed upon the people, whereby those who would have the mark would not be able to buy or sell food at their grocery store. But any notion of taking these words literally is ridiculous. The language throughout the passage is obviously symbolic and spiritual. The mark of the beast is simply a spiritual and invisible mark which identifies all of the unsaved as being owned by Satan, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark is spiritual language, which teaches that unless you are unsaved, you would not be able to teach or propagate your gospel in the churches during the Great Tribulation. And this is the way it was. The true believers were not allowed to speak up or to teach. They were asked to leave the church, or they were thrown out of the church, or just because of all the false teachings, the true believers had to leave the church. And of course, at the time, the believers were commanded to leave, and so in obedience to the command, they left the churches as well. The mark of the beast is like the brand that a rancher would put on his cattle, but it is not a physical mark. It is spiritual, like I've said. This invisible mark was put upon all those in all the churches who did not come out of the churches in obedience to the Lord's command during the Great Tribulation. From May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, but have remained there, being deceived into believing that Christ is still in their church when he is not. So in answer to our question, who are the ones who have received the mark of the beast? The answer is all those in the churches. They are also the ones who have worshipped the image of the beast. Although beginning on May 21, 1988, Christ left all the churches so that Satan, the false Christ, could take over the ruling of all the churches as judgment against them, those who remained in the churches believe that the false Christ is the true Christ, and so they have all been deceived, and they are all worshiping the image of the beast without realizing it. finally, we read that both the beast and the false prophet were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is not a literal lake of fire burning with brimstone, but it is symbolic of this world in the day of judgment ever since May 21, 2011. The lake is symbolic of this world, and the fire and brimstone are symbolic of judgment. Indeed, ever since May 21, 2011, this world has become a lake of fire, spiritually speaking, with no further hope of salvation. And the beast and false prophet, who are both representations of Satan, have been sentenced to remain on this earth until that which is now spiritual judgment is completed on the last day, when this world and Satan will be literally annihilated. There is a good probability that this will take place on October 6 to 7, 2015. And you can click on the link here to see some of the reasoning behind that. Finally, we come to verse 21 of Revelation 19. And this is the last verse that we'll cover. It reads, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Since the word remnant in this verse can be translated as rest, this verse is simply saying that the rest were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. The rest refers to those who had received the mark of the beast and who had worshipped his image, which in turn refers to all those in the churches, but ultimately refers to every unsaved person in the world. So what this verse is saying is that not only were the beast and the false prophet cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone on May 21, 2011, as we were told in the previous verse, but all the rest, both in the churches and out, who are unsaved, were killed with the sword on May 21, 2011 as well. And how were they killed? As I just said, they were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword we have already learned is the Word of God. So on May 21, 2011, all the unsaved in the world were slain by the Word of God, for it was the Word of God, that is Christ, who brought Judgment Day with the removal of salvation from the world, so that there is no longer any hope for any unsaved person in the world. It was as if they were then and there killed, because all they are now awaiting, if they are unsaved, is death. Now we read, "And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." This is simply a metaphorical way of saying that justice has been completely satisfied. The fowls were filled or satisfied by the coming of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. As we previously had learned, the fowls represent the elect. And in that, the elect are represented here as being satisfied or filled with the flesh of all the unsaved, means that all the injustices done against God's people through the unsaved are being satisfied with the coming of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. The unsaved are being recompensed for their sin. First, they are killed spiritually since they can no longer be saved. And then they will be physically killed at Christ's coming on the last day when he shall appear to repay the sinners in full. Now may the Lord bless thee and fill thee with his love. In Jesus Christ, amen.